Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Hi, my name is Greg, and I serve as the Executive Director for Assemblies of God World Missions, which in a capsule means that I oversee 2,700 missionaries in 256 countries of the world and provinces and territories, and just make sure that they're taken care of and that they're on mission sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a delight to be with you today. Really love being here, and I shared in the earlier morning service that over the last 5 years, your missions giving for missionaries around the world has gone up 14% every year. So you guys are really, you're on it. Give yourself a hand, sure. And just for your information, of the 200 and, let me see, make sure I'm right, of the 276 churches, Assemblies of God churches in Ohio, you rank number 5 in missionary giving. So, I mean, you're really up there. Thank you very, very much. It's cool that you have that kind of heart for missions. Today, I would like to talk to you about Holy Spirit empowerment. We're talking about missions, and if you're going to do missions, if you're going to be a witness, then you need Holy Spirit empowerment. And empowerment, how can we relate to empowerment? I heard a little story about a governor of Massachusetts back in the 1950s. His name was Christian Herter, and he had run for governor, and he had won the first time, and now he was running again because he wanted a second term. And so he was out knocking on doors on a Saturday, and time got away from him, and he didn't get lunch. And so he was getting pretty hungry around 2 or 3 o'clock. And he came across a church that was having like a fellowship out on the lawn, and he saw food, and he thought, hey, I can go there and get some food. So he got in line, he got his rolls, he got his vegetables, and it came to the lady that was serving chicken. And so she put a piece of chicken on his plate, and he was very hungry. And he was a kind of a very humble man, so he didn't tell her who he was. So he just said, hey, look, I've been working all morning. Would you mind giving me a second piece of chicken? And the lady said, one piece of chicken per person. And so he goes, yeah, I understand, and that's really cool, but I've been just working, and I'm sweating, and it's a hard day. Boy, I could really use two pieces of chicken. And she said, one piece of chicken per person. So then he said, okay, I got to tell her who I am. He says, listen, do you know who I am? I am governor of the state of Massachusetts, and I would like a second piece of chicken. And the lady looked at him and said, do you know who I am? I'm the one giving the chicken. And pastor told me, one piece of chicken per person, move on. Empowerment, okay? Empowerment. So I would like for us to think about that word empowerment of the Holy Spirit and missions today. And the scriptural foundation for that is found in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which most of us probably could quote, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. And that happens to be our theme in 2019, to the ends of the earth in world missions. But there's one other scripture I'd like to read for you, and that's found in John chapter 14 and verse 12. And it goes like this. What the Father offers his children is supernatural power to accomplish what he has called them to do beyond their limited human nature. I like this translation. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit, whom he called our helper, would empower those who loved and obeyed him to do the works that I have been doing, and they will even do greater things. Now, that's quite the promise, and that's quite the empowerment when you think about it. Today, I would like to talk about 4 principles and just share with you illustrations from what our missionaries are experiencing around the world. The first point I would like to share with you is to be empowered by the Spirit means he uses us to demonstrate his boundless, I like that word, boundless mercy and kindness toward mankind. His boundless mercy and kindness toward mankind. And to illustrate this, I want to take you to the country of Jordan. Jordan is in the Middle East, is neighbors to Israel, and it's also neighbors to Syria. As you know, a civil war has been going on in Syria for several years now. And when civil war happens, people have to leave the country. They're called refugees. In fact, if you want to know it, right now in our world, we have more refugees that have had to leave their country than any time since World War II. There are 65 million refugees in the world right now. I mean, people without their home. Think about being kicked out of your home, having to go somewhere else and try to make a life for yourself. So about 1 million of those Syrians went into Jordan. Now, Jordan has a population of 5 million people, and 1 million refugees went to Jordan. That's about 20% of the whole population. So a country can't even handle that. If it was America, there's 320 million people in America. That means about 64 million people would be refugees. The entire refugee population of the world would move here. That's the kind of dimensions it had for that little country. So the United Nations and different other nonprofit organizations came in to help, and the Church of Jesus Christ is there as well. And the Assemblies of God, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, is there. So I was there, and I went with the superintendent up to the border of Syria, where there's a little church, probably around 50 people in it, on the main street. They rent a building in a basement, and they offered themselves to the government and the non-government agencies as a distribution point to share goods and food with people. They partnered with us in the United States, and many churches like yourself took offerings, and then we were able to purchase goods like sugar and rice and different toiletry items and things like that, hygiene items, for a family of four for 2 weeks. And so that church, the church members, all 50 of them would get together and they would put these bags together so that they could have a distribution. And they had a distribution on Monday evening at 7 o'clock. So we got there about 6:45 on the main street and outside this church that's in the basement. And now just to help you understand this, the church wasn't any bigger than this section right here, okay? And I could reach up my hand and touch the ceiling, which is about 8 feet. So they're in there furiously getting ready for the refugees to come in, and finally they get to the point, and I'm asking the pastor, I said, how did the refugees know to come here at 7 o'clock on Monday night to this address? He pulls out his cell phone and he says, they get a text from the agency that they are allowed to come here. They get on that text, they get also a certificate showing that they are allowed to be here at this time to get this package of goods. I said, okay, here they are, refugees, had to leave their home and everything else, and yet they have their cell phones that they can use to get these texts. So about 7 o'clock they came in, and the church members, the women stood on one side, the men stood on the other side, and as they came in, they were welcomed. The women gave him a little cookie, and the men gave him a little cup of coffee called Turkish coffee. Any of y'all had Turkish coffee? A couple of you. Turkish coffee, that much coffee, that much caffeine, okay? So, I mean, you're ready for church, right? So, they sit down, women on one side, men on the other side, because that's the custom with their religion. And the pastor gets up in front of them and says, look, I'd like to share for 10 minutes why we do this. You know, it's one beautiful thing to be compassionate to people and to give them shoes or to give them clothes or to give them food, and that's awesome. But I'll tell you what, you can have food, you can have clothes, and you can have shoes, and you can go to hell. So when the pastor gets up there, he says, here's why we do this. We do this because Jesus taught us to love, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we do this compassion and we give so that you can have some temporal relief, but we want to share with you that you can have eternal relief if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So that was his message. Now he said to some of these people, because they're in a religion that's totally different and opposite than ours, he said, if you're uncomfortable being in the church, he said, you can step outside, but don't worry, you can come back in. And so they had that choice. He gave them the choice. But he gave them the message of Jesus Christ so that 150, 200 people were able to experience probably 99.9% of them, the first time in their life, that the reason people were helping them, because Jesus loved them. And I have to do a quick addendum to that. I was just in the country of Iraq, in the city of Baghdad, where their ISIS drove out hundreds and thousands of people. And our church, the Assemblies of God Church there, in the capital city, would be ministering to them. I was there, and I shared with one man who was a refugee, an internal refugee, had to come to spare his family and his life. He put himself in charge, like being a guard for the camp, and he was a guard at the university, got a job at night. And he came up to me and he said, "You are a Christian." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want you to know that the only people that have helped in this camp are Christians." Now, I don't know what that does to you, but it broke my heart. Because people, their own religion, didn't even help them. But the love of Jesus.
Right.
Come on. The love of Jesus compels us. Okay. Number two, second point. To be empowered by the Spirit means he uses us to demonstrate his bountiful and invaluable resources. How many know that we serve a God of the universe? I mean, he is a great, big God. And so he has resources that we don't know that we have available. So I want to tell you a story about Myanmar. Myanmar is the modern day name for the country of Burma, okay? And so I was going to Burma, I was on this airplane, and I was going there for a specific reason, because a Burmese businessman had bought a piece of ground on the opposite side of the river, which is the poor side of the river, which is the side of the river that runs through the capital city of Yangon that floods a lot. But he bought this piece of land because he saw all these poor kids over there, and he wanted to do something to help them. He wanted to give them a space to play. He wanted to help them with some education. He wanted to share with them Jesus Christ. But part of the problem was, is he had money, but he didn't have a lot of education. He didn't have a lot of means for teaching and all of that. And so he was trying to get them together, but things weren't working real well. We had sent a missionary there, a young single lady. Can I hear it for young single ladies that are missionaries? Bravest people I know. Men, forgive me. Bravest people I know. So she's there alone. She's praying, "God, open a door that I can minister." She's a teacher. And she's a believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, wanting to do something for God. So chance meeting? I don't think so. The businessman, the missionary, meet. He invites her to come over. And so all these kids start coming. And she's teaching them, and she's sharing the love of Jesus. The parents around, all Buddhists, are going, "Wow, this is really cool." So they decide to make lunch, right? So they're cooking all this stuff in this big pot, open air, and they're throwing stuff in there that we probably wouldn't eat. But anyhow, and they're all ready, right? So I'm on the airplane, right? I'm going to see this thing that's going on. So I'm sitting next to a Norwegian. Anybody have Norwegian heritage here? One of you? Okay. So I'm sitting next, and we get into a conversation. I said, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Yangon." He says, "Why?" He says, "Well, I represent Christian businessmen from Norway, and we want to invest in a project in Yangon." I said, "Yes!" So we get together. I introduce him to the Myanmar businessman, who's working with the American missionary, and he sees what they're doing with the children. And so that business consortium of Norwegian people get together, they raise the land so that it will not flood anymore, so that the kids can be there all year round. Isn't that cool? So you got a Norwegian, an American missionary, and a Myanmar businessman that come together because God has bountiful, invaluable resources. And it's not just about me, and not just about my prayer time, or not just about my wallet, or not just about my going, because God goes way beyond that. Third point. Well, let me share this. History tells us, from the United States, our first missionary, Protestant missionary, to leave the United States and go overseas was a man by the name of Adoniram Judson. Okay? He had a heart to go to India, okay? But he got there, and there's so much to the story. It's really a fascinating story. It didn't work out, so he went to Myanmar. When he gets to Myanmar, Man, it is like the Wild West. It's jungle, it's infested in diseases. The government is against him. He's put in jail. He's out in the jungle. He's sick. He loses his first wife. He loses his second wife. He marries a third time. Brave woman. That's all I'm saying. She sits outside the prison when he's in prison and gets food together because he's not getting fed. I mean, this is one faithful, beautiful lady. Okay, so anyhow, he translates the Bible into the Burmese language. Now you say, what good is that doing? I know Pastor said in the earlier service that missions is not just about giving, it's an investment.
That's right.
So a lot of people like say, what's your ROI? What's your return on investment? He wrote a Bible translated a Bible 200 years ago that when I was there 2 years ago, they were still using that Bible. 200 years. Now that's an investment.
Yes.
Okay, so when you invest in missions, the ripple effect of that goes throughout the network of that person that comes to know the Lord, but then that multiply. It can affect 200 years of history. So he really, really suffered. His wife suffered, his children suffered. The son that lived through this, his name is Edward. He said that about his father. He said that suffering and success go together. Now think of this. Suffering and success go together. And then he said this. If you are succeeding without suffering, it is because others before you have suffered.
Yes, that's right.
Now think about that. We sit here because there were members of this congregation that gave and this building gave, and maybe they're not even here anymore, but we stand on their shoulders. There are people in your family that maybe shared the gospel with you. They went on before. Maybe they were ostracized from their family, but they continue to share the gospel. So we stand on the shoulders of people behind us. So it is because others have suffered before you. But listen to this. If you are suffering without succeeding, it is that others after you may succeed. So you see that beautiful part in the body of Christ, whether you are succeeding or whether you are suffering, it's all for the glory of God.
Yes.
And that God will do something in both cases. So if you are sharing your witness and nothing has happened, maybe somebody else will come along and give a quick testimony and that person will come to know Jesus Christ. You are a link, a vital link in the chain. But that brings me to the third point very quickly. To be empowered by the Spirit means he uses us to demonstrate his borderless, incomparable reach. Now, Acts 1:8 says, to the ends of the earth, his borderless, incomparable reach. Let me take you to the country of Kosovo. Kosovo had a terrible war, 99, 2000, 2001, a lot of refugees. Those refugees went out. Because of people like you that said, okay, missions is an investment, we had missionaries on the ground in Macedonia, in Albania, and different countries that these refugees went into. Over 1 million refugees came out of Kosovo. It was only a country of 2 million people, okay? So 1 million refugees came out. Well, our missionaries, one in Albania, had a prophetic look forward, had a word of God, rented a rare house, put all kinds of stuff in it, mattresses and everything. And that was before that refugee crisis and the war took place. And when it happened, he was ready to receive all these refugees that were coming to his little village. And the mayor of that little town said, listen, I don't know what's going on, but I'm making you in charge of all the refugees. And so all those refugees had the opportunity to hear the gospel of Christ because of this guy. Because he was boots on the ground, because he was supported by American Assemblies of God churches. So thank you. So in Macedonia, we had a missionary that was there, did the same thing. But when the refugees went back, when the war was over, he went back with them. So he's there. And boy, Kosovo after the war, no electricity, no water. Goods were hard to come by. Groceries were hard to come by. So it was really, really tough going. So one day he decides to go to the store. And he goes to the store to see what happens to be there. And he gets there and he's in line and he gets a little stuff. And He's paying for it at the cashier, and he's talking Albanian because that's what they speak in Kosovo. And this guy behind him taps him on the shoulder and says, "Hey, you're speaking Albanian." And the missionary said, "Yeah, that's right. I live here." So he goes back to paying him, and the guy taps him on the shoulder again and says, "You're speaking Albanian." And he says, "Yeah, I live here." And the guy taps him on the shoulder. He said, "You don't understand. You're speaking Albanian, and you're an American." And so if you speak three languages, you are trilingual. You speak two languages, you are bilingual. You speak one language, you are American. So this guy was blown away. Now, it just so happens he was the disc jockey at a radio station that reached 1.5 million people in Kosovo, of the 2 million people. And he had a show every Friday night from 10 o'clock Friday night to 1 o'clock Saturday morning called Are You Lonesome Tonight? And yes, Elvis Presley was the lead sing on that song, Are You Lonesome? Anybody identify with me on Elvis Presley here? Anybody remember the 60s? Three of you? Come on. I had a friend that said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. So think about that. So anyhow, he gets on the show, and it's a call-in talk show. People are calling in, asking all, because they've never heard about an American that speaks Albanian. So they call, ask him all kinds of questions. Well, at that time, with 2 million people in the country, there were 50 known believers, 50. One of those believers happens to hear him on the radio, calls in and says, "Is it true that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven?" Well, hello. Yes. So he goes down the Roman road, the Matthew road, the Mark road, the Luke road, the John road, and 1.5 million people had the opportunity to hear that Jesus Christ can save them from their sins. Now, big point in this story, great witness. Big point, he's standing in line at the grocery store.
Right.
He didn't know he was a preacher. He didn't know he was a missionary. He didn't care. He spoke his language and was standing in line at the grocery store. Your life can have eternal ramifications by standing in line at the grocery store.
Yes, it
can. By going to the gas station, by talking to your neighbor. You don't know all the ripple effects. But all it is, it wasn't because he was a missionary, it's because he needed to eat. Brothers and sisters, Acts 1:8, you will be my witnesses.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right where you are or right where he sends you. Fourth point, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit means he uses us to demonstrate that he works infinitely beyond our abilities. Okay? We all have abilities. We all have talents. I want you to know that God can work infinitely beyond our talents and abilities. We had a situation in Crimea where they had been under the rule or under the religion of Islam for 500 years. And we weren't sure how many people were there that really knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so there was a huge prayer burden. Finally, we got somebody to get in there and they taught at university. But how do you make inroads? I mean, how do you make an open conversation with somebody? That's one of the things that, you know, you ask the Spirit of God who is empowering us to open doors for us to share our faith. And so he was praying. By the way, I'm putting away my phone. I folded up my notes. I'm looking at my watch. It means nothing. Yes, it means nothing. But I'm going to listen to Pastor. He told me done 5 after. So here's the rest of the story. Rest of the story is, there's this Muslim lady that gets very sick. She goes into a Christian Orthodox hospital. She's on her deathbed. The husband leaves that evening thinking she won't last the night, but he's going to go collect money for the funeral. He collects the money, comes back the next morning. She's standing at the end of her bed. He says, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm going home." Now all the tubes are gone. She's getting in her street clothes. He says, "You can't go home. You're dying." She goes, "Doctor was in, said I can go home." So he goes and gets the nurses. Nurses come in, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm going home." "You can't go home." "Why?" "Because you're dying." She goes, "The doctor was in, said I could go home." The nurses say, "Hey, no doctor was here today." She goes, "Sorry, doctor was here and I'm going home." So she and her husband are walking down the hall. Remember, it's a Christian hospital. And there on, on the wall is a picture of Jesus knocking at the door. And she looks at that picture and said, there's my doctor. Dr. Jesus was in that room that night and touched her body and healed her. So she goes home. She's at home. She has a 5-year-old son that has never walked. That night she prays to Dr. Jesus. Dr. Jesus, can you do something about my son? You've helped me. Dr. Jesus comes. In the middle of the night, the father wakes up because the boy's running up and down the steps. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know God performed a miracle. That's awesome. That is amazing. I mean, how can you top that, right? You can top it because we had a person in the country that could tell them who Dr. Jesus really is. You see, if they didn't have somebody to teach them and to disciple them and to share with them, if there wasn't a church there, if there wasn't a believer there to help them understand that, that would have just kind of been an event in history. But now they're in the kingdom of God, and not only them, but there are 12 to 15 house groups now in the country because Dr. Jesus healed her and their son, but because the missionary was there to connect and share what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So, we will be his witnesses, empowered by the Holy Spirit, in Jerusalem, right here, in Judea, in Samaria, and if God calls you and touches you, to the ends of the earth. God bless you.
So you've just heard that God is at work. He is at work around this world. He's doing miracles. He's saving, healing, delivering around this world. I spoke earlier and I told you that Jesus is the only way to be saved. We believe the truth that Jesus is the only way. And that, hold on, one second, I wasn't planning on. All the detractors who say Christianity is a hate-filled religion, I want you to go anywhere in the world and I want you to find a hospital. And I'm going to tell you, somewhere in that hospital, there's going to be a name of Jesus Christ attached to that somewhere. Because I tell you what the world wants to do. The world just voted this past week that you could take a baby after it's born and let it die. Do you know why Christians made such an impact in the first century? Do you know why they did that? Because they were going and getting those babies, because they used to do that all around the world too. They'd take their babies and lay them outside, let them die. And Christians were the ones that were going and showing compassion and love. And I don't know what you've been told, but you've been told a lie if you say that Christians are hate-filled mongers. Do you know what Christians are? The ones that will run to the problem and take care of the problem. Isn't that what we just heard? We are called to be a part of fixing problems, not making problems. And if you think that Christianity is only hate-filled mongers, then you're believing a lie and you're not living out Jesus the way he told you to live it. We as a church are to be a part of the solution, never a part of the problem. And I'm tired of you youngsters being lied to that Christianity is a problem. Christianity is not the problem. A few stupid people that call themselves Christians may be the problem. But I tell you what Christianity teaches you to do. It teaches you to lay down your life so that other people could live. And that's a Jesus I'm selling, and that's a Jesus I'm offering you today, is that you stop believing the lies of this world and you step into the real Jesus that will go prepare places for those who are ostracized to have a bed and a place to eat and a place to sleep, and that we will be the ones that will build hospitals to take care of people that the world would reject and throw out to get lost. We will be the ones that care. It didn't matter whether they're from Mexico or Honduras or America. I don't care where they're from. Kosovo, Syria, our call is to love people, period. And we will do that as the church of Jesus Christ. That is our call, and that's what we're called to do. So I'm sorry if you've been sold the wrong version of who Jesus is, but I want to tell you, Jesus is the Lord who loves you and wants to save you and wants to give you a hope and a future, and that's the Jesus we offer. And I want to ask you this morning, would you step into what God is doing? Would you quit making excuses and listening to the lies, and would you actually embrace the truth of who Jesus Christ is and follow him with all your heart? So, just out of an act of reverence, could we all bow our heads in this moment? And I want to ask you, you're sitting here right now, and you just heard the call of God saying, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord. Quit believing the lies. Quit making excuses. I want to follow Jesus right now with all my heart. That's you. You want to give your heart to Jesus Christ right now. You've never done it, or maybe you did a long time ago. It's time for you to do it right. Today, you want to make Jesus your Lord. You want to commit to Him as your Lord and Savior. That's you. Lift your hand really high. I want to pray with you right now. In this room, God is calling you. Online, God is calling you to submit to His Lordship. Then God, let's do this. Let's do this. Everybody look up here. We're going to get crazy Pentecostal. I was praying earlier this week about how to end this service. And this is what I think we ought to do. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. You just heard a story about a boy walking who had never walked before, and a mom who was dying brought back to life. The same Jesus who can do miracles there is the same Jesus that can do miracles here. So if you've got a physical or an emotional or a spiritual or a relational need, you've got a problem in your life that you would like that powerful Jesus to step into your situation today, then I'm going to ask you to be really crazy with me and to step out into an aisle right now. Just step out into an aisle. You, physical need, spiritual need, financial need, emotional need, relational need. I don't know what it is. You got a need. Just step out. Step out. Come on, be bold. God's already here. He's not waiting. God's just waiting on you to be here. All right? Do y'all see anybody in the aisle around you? Good. That means you're all great. You don't have any needs. So then you get out there with them right now. Get around and lay hands on their shoulder and begin to pray for them right now. We're going to pray together right now. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch these bodies right now that need a healing touch from heaven, that you would do a miracle, that you would reach down your hand and that you would bring healing to the body right now, that you would restore and give life and health and hope. God, I pray that you would supernaturally move on these bodies and that miracles would come from heaven. The Jesus who was raised from the dead that has power over these bodies right now, in the name of Jesus, touch these bodies and bring healing and hope right now in this moment. In the name of Jesus, heal these bodies, we pray. And God, you know that there are other needs. There's emotional needs. They need you to come and give encouragement and hope and a vision for life and future. There's deliverance that's happening right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you are free from the sin, from the things that have bound, from the habits that have kept you bound. In the name of Jesus, be free in this moment right now. Father, I pray as well that you would provide financially and supernaturally and miraculously, that you would restore relationships, that the hardened hearts that are keeping them apart right now would be broken, and that, God, there would be a healing that would come to the brokenness of these relationships, that you would do a miracle in this moment, and that the Jesus who is resurrected from the dead would reveal your power right now to every person reaching out to you by faith, that you would do a miracle now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the miracle of God begin to fill this place so we can stand up in faith and declare you are Lord. You are Lord. Amen. Can we sing this chorus together?